A report in today's New York Times details new evidence that North Korea has sold nuclear material to Libya. According to international arms inspectors, North Korea provided Libya nearly 2 tons of uranium hexafluoride in early 2001. Libya surrendered the uranium to the United States earlier this year when Colonel Muammar Gaddafi agreed to dismantle his country's weapons programs. If processed, the uranium could have produced a single nuclear weapon. Efforts are now being made to determine if North Korea has sold nuclear technology to other countries or terrorist networks. New York Times correspondents William Broad and David Sanger reported the story. Sanger covers the White House, and he's in the studio this morning. Good morning, David. Welcome back.
Good morning, Leanne. Good to be here.
How did the inspectors learn about this transaction between North Korea and Libya?
Well, Leanne, ever since the Libyan decision to disarm, the inspectors and the United States have been tracing back through the network that was built by Abdul Qadir Khan, who was known popularly as the father of the Pakistani bomb. And, of course, what they've discovered over the past few months is that Mr. Khan took the whole network that he had built up to supply Pakistan and turned it around, mostly for his own profit, and managed to turn it into an exporting machine. What was different here is that we've always known that North Korea was a consumer of Dr. Khan's goods because they're trying to build up two different separate nuclear weapons programs, we believe. But this is the first evidence that North Korea has ever actually sold nuclear-related materials. Until now, we've only known of their sales of missiles.
What's been the response from the White House so far?
The White House has been very quiet, and the oddity of this, of course, was that this is the President of the United States who went up and gave a State of the Union speech in which he described Iraq's efforts to obtain uranium from Africa, efforts that turned out, in the end, not to have actually happened. In this particular case, you have North Korea selling processed uranium, low-enriched, you can't turn it into a bomb, but Libya was assembling the pieces to go do it, and this White House has said very little. Now, there are two possible explanations for this. The first is they're pretty busy in Iraq right now. The second possibility is that they believe that this is best done quietly and that they can best disarm North Korea by squeezing it with all of its neighbors.
So how does this news now about North Korea fit into this whole complex of the war on terrorism and the occupation of Iraq?
Well, it's a little bit inconvenient because we are jammed up in Iraq right now. And last week, in fact, Secretary Rumsfeld announced that we are actually removing a brigade of troops, about 4,000 troops, from South Korea and moving them to Iraq because we need the help. On the other hand, what it does demonstrate is that the president was right when he said that our biggest threat is that the world's worst weapons could fall into the hands of the world's worst dictators. The question right now is, how did we miss this one? I mean, imagine this for a second. We got the most of the Iraq weapons of mass destruction wrong. We thought they were, and they weren't. In this particular shipment to Libya, we didn't discover it. In fact, it took the IAEA to go figure this out.
David, this news comes as the Bush administration is trying to regain some positive footing on news about Iraq. And as part of that, tomorrow night, President Bush is going to make the first in a series of speeches that leading up to the planned handover of power to the Iraqis on June 30th. What is the president expected to say?
Well, I think in this first speech, and as you say, it is a series because he's then going out to give a graduation speech at in Colorado that was expected to be part of this, and then he'll be at two summit meetings in the month of June where he's going to have to speak on this again. But I think in this first speech, he just wants to explain to Americans that there is a plan for what this new interim government in Iraq would look like, that it's going to have, you know, a president and two vice presidents and a prime minister and so forth. The problem is what he can't explain to us is who's going to go sit in those seats. And that is right now what the UN representative, Mr. Brahimi, is trying to go put together. But I think that the first thing the White House has to do is try to dispel the notion, whether it's fair or unfair, that they really are just groping forward day by day.
What more is the White House doing, though? Are they doing anything to move toward June 30th?
Well, the main part of moving toward June 30th is getting this plan together, because if you don't have a government to turn things over to, June 30th doesn't work. I think the part of the difficulty that they're running into is that's the only thing that changes on June 30th. Americans are not going to see troops come home on June 30th. In fact, if anything, there'll be more there for some good time. So the president has got to get past that, and he also has to, I think, make the case that you are seeing that the insurgency is itself a passing phenomenon.
David Sanger is a White House correspondent for The New York Times. Thanks so much for coming in this morning.
Always good to be here, Leah.